Welcome back to the Weekly Roast. How's it going, guys? How the hell are you? How are your hearts? And of course, how are your heads? Guys, what's going on? He's going to come with the thank yous. Thank you so much to everybody who has bought the book so far. I'm absolutely blown away by the response. I can't believe it. I never, just for a moment of sincerity, I never in my wildest dreams thought it would be received in the way that it has. So thank you so much. It's absolutely surreal, bizarre, uplifting in the most wholesome possible way one can imagine. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart to everybody who has bought a copy of the book so far and everybody who has read it and taken something from it. You know, whether you drink problematically or not, it's sort of irrelevant because it's not just about that. It's about lots of things. So if you haven't gotten a copy yet, you know what to do. Please consider it. But I do truly, really appreciate every single human who's taken the chance to get themselves a copy and who's obviously sent me a message about the book and, you know, what it did for them and whatnot. So thank you. Genuinely thank you. But look, there's no point in me just coming at the thank yous. I need to be honest as well. This is a podcast of honesty, so I got a bit of bad news the other night. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, wow, what a trooper, Mark. 1 week after releasing a book and he's still cracking on with the podcast, the day before he goes on a much needed holiday to Spain, you know, how have you managed to come into the studio so early? And, you know, no, that's not what you're thinking. No, no, no. What you're really thinking is, tell us what the bad news was specifically, because that's all that anybody cares about. What exactly was the bad news? That's the reality. No one gives a shit. Yes, I'm really sorry to hear about your suffering, but if you don't tell me in the next 5 seconds what the bad news was, I'm going to start screaming. And the empathy well will be running dry, baby. Let's not pretend we don't like hearing bad news. As Irish people, it's just part of our DNA. We are fundamentally attracted to tragedy and become dysfunctionally erect by the noise of somebody else's woes. Think about that for a sec. Think about the way that our brains work. Jesus, did you hear Simon O'Mara got engaged? What? Sure, he was an awful old gobshite always. Anyway, I suppose it's her problem now. Do you have any other news, no? Actually, yeah, I heard Moira O'Flynn's uncle won something substantial on the Euro Millions. No, 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 no. Forget about all that. Do you have any real news? Any actual news? Any good news? Any proper news? Well, I heard Susan Brady's husband isn't doing so good. Oh, what? Sorry, go on. Here. Oh, interesting. Sit down. Sit down. What do you have? Would you like a pint? What can I get you? Jesus, take off your coat. Have you ever noticed that? We are just absolutely obsessed with bad news in this country. What an observation. Nevertheless, I did get a bit of bad news, guys. Myself and Darren have been invited to a friend of ours for dinner. I know. It's horrendous. A dinner party in their home on a Friday. Or nibbles and a chat, as their fucking skin-crawlingly enthusiastic text message put it. And what's worse, by the way, is that we said yes. Also, if you're referring to food as nibbles, you're either a pervert trying to woo school children into the back of a white van that's in dire need of a wash, or you're a South Dublin suburban mom who's too familiar with the work of Holly Willoughby. Do you know what I mean? Oh, just come over for nibbles and a chat. Going to people's houses for dinner in general is just not for me, okay? It's something that I wish we could have left behind in an era before. I just don't like getting invited to people's houses, okay? It makes me uncomfortable. It's like I'm seeing them in the nude, and not in a good way either. I'd much prefer to have, like, I prefer to have a public setting as a sort of buffer zone between myself and the people in my life. It's much easier that way, you know? It's a lot less difficult to get out of the scenario then too. Because it's very hard, think about it like this, it's very hard to be like, okay, I'm leaving, when you're sitting in the back of a futon with crumbs down your front and you're still holding a cup of tea. Do you know what I mean? Ultimately for me, the dinner party is just one of those many sort of illusions of being an adult. I spent, like, my entire childhood assuming that my adult life was just going to dinner parties. Even when I was in my 20s living in London, I spent 10 years renting flats and constantly, like, one of the prerequisites when I was looking at flats would be, oh, is there a suitable place to have dinner parties? In the 10 years that I was living there, I didn't have one. Weirdly enough, most of the parties I went to back then only required one dinner plate. Brilliant. It was a different time. Generally though, I did just believe that adult life
would have more dinner parties.
Yeah, like the 90s. Do you remember the, man, every weekend in the 90s, it felt like your parents were having dinner parties. You'd wake up on a Saturday morning and there'd always be ashtrays dotted around the kitchen, or like empty cans of Budweiser or lager dotted all over the place with the good old days, you know, the 90s. The living room would resemble a scene from Brits Abroad, back when starters were crisps and dessert was one after eight. Do you know, the good old days, when the parties were innocent and the crack was 90. The night would end up in a bit of good, clean fun, like Neil from the house down the road in the estate, standing on a chair, playing the invisible saxophone with the wooden spoons, mad stuff, or cheating on his wife. The good old days. Neil sleeping in the garden that night, when Aoife found out, throwing his smalls out of the top window in a Jansport, saying, "You did this. You've done this." Neil having to get a taxi into town, but all the hotels being booked up because there's a Six Nations match. Nevertheless, I just don't like going to people's houses, okay? I'm not a fan of going to people's houses. Speaking of not liking going to people's houses, that seems like the obvious segue to discuss people who we spend time with within those walls, within the safety of our walls. Look, as somebody who has been through, you know, sharing more houses with strangers than Lucy fucking Kennedy, okay, I can attest to the fact that, you know, housemates are tough. And I'm also hyper aware of the cognitive dissonance that I'd likely exercise if I was to just roast housemates for the duration of this podcast. And yes, let it be known, I was probably the problematic housemate for many people. So for every story that we have about another housemate or one of yours in this roast, I think I must admit, and I will try and include some of my own shortcomings and failures as a cohabitant, because let's be honest, you know, my 20s, I was a colourful character. I was probably not the easiest guy in the world to live with. Okay, guys, it's the roast of housemates. It's great to be here. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show each week. I'm sorry that I have to keep pushing the book, but that's the game. That is literally the game. If, like, an absolute superstar like Bradley Cooper has to go on to Graham Norton to promote his book, can you imagine the lengths that I must have to go? Little old me, the violin's out. Oh, little old drunken me has to do to sell his... You can't. Has to sell his book. Nevertheless, please buy the book. Thank you so much for the support, for listening to the show. Thank you to everybody for contributing to me and to Kieran each week. It is hugely appreciated. I'm also going to try and figure out some sort of weekly roast hotline wherein we can find an easier way of you guys submitting your voice notes, because the admin is becoming sadmin, okay? Given the volume of voice notes coming in, and I know that we're missing some each week, so leave it with me. I'm going to try and figure that out. Thank you so much for the support from the bottom of my heart. Also, don't want to say something and tease us without delivering, but live shows, we're back. We're coming back, baby. Watch this space. In the next few months, there's some special stuff happening. Delighted to announce, etc., etc., etc. It's the roast of housemates.
Hiya, Mark. My housemate was the absolute best, but her boyfriend was the pits. He had size 15 feet, first off.
Not his problem.
And we lived in this tiny little apartment, and he had big, massive boat shoes and his big, ugly feet. And so the whole apartment was taken up with both his feet and his shoes.
Brilliant.
Oh, God. And one time he made himself a cup of tea, and I said jokingly, "God, I would have loved a cup of tea." And he looked at me, full and earnest face on him, and he said, "The T train has left the station." The ick I got was something else. I got the ick for her. I had the ick for myself. Oh, 22 years later, and I still cringe when I think of that fella.
22 years later, and you're still thinking about one missed cup of tea. How obsessed with tea are you? Oh, good. It's Mrs. Doyle in a phone box. Do you know what I mean? Covering her mouth with her sleeve. You are mourning the loss of one cup of tea from fucking two decades ago. However, "The T train has left the station" is a very cringeworthy sentence. The T train has left the station. It's real sort of, you know, that like American style 2008 sort of Steve Stifler Anchorman. Do you remember when Anchorman came out and every man in Ireland had their Facebook? "San Diego, a whale's vagina." Oh, God, the cringe. Forget the big feet, okay? As everybody knows, if you have a big feet, it means you've got a huge cock. There you go, Kieran.
There you go.
You didn't think I was going to say it, but I did. Okay, he definitely sounds cringy. He definitely sounds like he has big feet, I guess. Fair play to you or to him. Moving on!
Yeah, I used to live with a guy
who used to boil his eggs in the kettle. And then when you go to make a cup of tea, all this egg yolk could fall out. It was absolutely disgusting. Yeah. And also, he used to wash his clothes in the shower with my fairy washing up liquid.
Good stuff.
And then he used to like sit down, have his dinner. And when he was finished with his play, he'd shove it in under the TV in Classic. The stand, like, and close the doors, and you wouldn't see it for weeks. Then you'd realise there's a smell and all this green mold would be growing all over the plate. It was absolutely disgusting.
This is fucking mental. And also, hold on a second here. This is like in a rom-com. Surely he should only ever be able to do that one time. Oh, Stephen, what are you doing? Ah, sure, I'm just shoving my plate under the TV like an absolute galt. I'm just a loon. That's just something I do. Cool, well, you're going to stop doing that. Otherwise, I'm calling the RTB and the landlord and the men with butterfly nets and Leonardo DiCaprio and Shutter Island. Shutter Island. You know, this is completely insane. If you think that you're getting away with this, putting his plate underneath the TV, I don't understand that. I can't wrap my head around it. The washing the clothes in the shower with fairy liquid. Yeah, like if it's sort of War of the Buttons era, do you know what I mean? Brilliant movie, by the way. If it's War of the Buttons era, I suppose it makes sense. Putting the eggs in the kettle, again, it should only happen one time before there's an interruption and he's slapped on the bottom and he's told, this is not how adult life works, by the way, Mark. You can't keep doing this. Also, does he squeeze the egg in down the top or does he put it in the main holster of the kettle? And actually, speaking of kettle trivia, not that we are, but if anybody would like some kettle trivia, recently I was noticing those sort of like the white flaky sort of stuff in my kettle, right? And I was Googling it. But if you just cut up a lemon, okay? Like get a lemon, stab it loads of times, put it into the kettle, boil the kettle, fill up the water with the lemon in it, boil it, leave it overnight, limescale completely gone. Bang! The limescale's gone. So, next.
Hey Mark, on the subject of housemates, I had a housemate who used to take all of the dishes out of the press, so there was never anything available to make food, eat food, nothing. Mother Hubbard's cupboards always empty, and take the dishes through her room and left them fester with remnants of leftovers. I don't know how she slept in the room. I don't know how anyone went to the room with her. There was just dishes full of moldy, rotten dishes everywhere. And it led to us getting a cockroach infestation, and it could have killed her because seriously, cockroaches, just because she was so dirty. But I used to creep in sometimes and take the dishes out and clean them. So I went in once for a pot, but it was so gross. I literally just threw it out, but I was throwing it out so that we wouldn't get rats. And anyway, we ended up with a cockroach infestation. So that was great.
I'm so on your side here, okay? I really am. What I will say is, why is it that we're so adverse to the idea of having a conversation with people? Why don't we just sit down and go, I understand that you're busy with whatever you're doing, or that you might not have the same sort of hygiene standards when it comes to kitchen consideration as the rest of us, but you're in a house share. The fundamental basis of a house share is that you're sharing the fucking facilities and space with other people. Just be considerate. It's not about, I'm just the type of person that just leaves food in the place, yeah, for a few days. I don't, it's just me. I just, you know, you have to exist with other people in mind.
Also, I'd just like to make you all very aware that I have had a very, very, very intense couple of weeks and I'm sort of surviving on coffee, as the fella says. And sometimes when I survive exclusively on coffee, the old, I don't know if you'd call it ADHD or whatnot, but the old head can go a little bit erratic. So forgive me if this podcast is a little bit tangential. Nevertheless, this next one is not in the Willy Willy Bum Bum section, okay? It potentially should be, but it's not going to be, because the Willy Willy Bum Bum section, or the Bum Bum section, as it probably is today. Let me just play this for you.
Very aware this is violent, but my friend lived with these two lads and they hated each other. And one day my friend was going into, opened up one of the presses and there was a pack of bourbons there that were open.
Love bourbons.
He was just about to eat one when the first guy was like, stop, 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 don't touch them. Jesus, don't touch them. And I was like, why, what's up? And he goes, they're belonging to the other fella. Pissed me off last week, so I've individually put each of those bourbons up my arse and put them back in the packet one by one.
Depraved.
He is in jail now.
This is just absolutely unforgivable. And you know what the really fucked up thing about this is for me? It's like a guy I used to know, okay? We used to go to Eddie Rockets. I grew up in South Dublin, which won't come as a shock to anybody listening, lest I hide it with my accent. But look, at least be true to yourself. Be who you are. I grew up in South Dublin, and we used to go to this teenage disco, and we'd go down to one of the fast food places that were in the little village. As we got older, I remember going, and this guy in our year, okay, and I'm not going to name any names, but Declan Sharp, but this guy in our year, okay, we were sitting in the booth, and you know those like straw contraptions that they had? I was taking a straw out, and someone's like, don't use the straw. And I was like, why? And he goes, Declan likes to come in, take the straws out, put them into his arse, and then puts them back in. And do you know what the most sadistic thing about this is? Much like the Bourbon Bandit, okay? You're doing something, but you're not even there to see the result. Do you know what I mean? What are you getting off on this? What are you benefiting from this? You're putting things up the arse, okay? Which is, that's absolutely fine. Everyone's allowed to put whatever they want up their arse. But, you know, you're putting stuff up your bum, and then you're not even there to see the suffering. That's what makes it psychopathic for me. It's like whenever you hear of things, oh, the great big illusion, by the way, of people putting poison in candy at Halloween. It doesn't happen. It's an urban myth. Oh, there's some people putting drugs in their candy. No, they're not, by the way. And as somebody who has once used drugs, you don't fucking give them away. The whole idea is that you do them yourself, okay? I don't know anybody in the country of Ireland or beyond. The way I said Ireland there was strange. I don't know anybody who go, oh, I've got these drugs that I paid bloody money for. You probably give them away. Do you know what I mean? That's not the way that it works from what I've heard. Okay? So yeah, psychopaths putting biscuits and straws up your bums. Stop it. Just absolutely stop it. Stop what you're doing. Intervene with yourself. You need to think of a different way to get your own back on people, because it's just not good enough.
Guys, I just got a flashback there when I was talking about going to teenage discos as a kid. Have I spoken about my first kiss before on the podcast?
No.
Oh man, this is the worst thing. You know, whenever you, do you ever get like this? You're walking down the street and you just think about something that happened about 15 years ago, and your face actually goes red, and you almost just want to go, "Oh, you fucking idiot!" You want to actually curse at yourself walking down the road. My first kiss was in Irish college. Shout out, Kira. My first kiss was in Irish college, okay? She broke up with me, by the way, afterwards. I was in love with her. She broke up with me the week afterwards. Was in Irish college. And whenever I was kissing her, by the way, nobody tells you how to kiss somebody. It's one of the, you know, nobody ever tells you growing up, so you just have to pretend like you know. My first kiss in Irish college at the disco, okay? With a girl called Kira. I didn't know what to do with my hands, right? And I also didn't know you had to close your eyes. Nobody tells you to close your eyes.
Fair.
And nobody tells you to close your eyes. And I have to always be alert for danger. I'm an anxious child. So I left my eyes open, and my only response to not knowing what to do with my hands, easy. I was just giving everybody the finger. As they were like dancing, looking over me, and I was there with the two fingers up. Like fucking Kid Rock, you know, in 1997. And like, oh man, so embarrassing. I'm wondering, could we do a roast on first kisses, or is it a bit too weird? Anyway, moving on, moving in and moving out. We've got, well, moving in with housemates. That would have been the perfect segue. Moving in.
So basically, I was living in Dublin years ago, and I went home for a weekend, and we didn't have locks on our doors, unfortunately.
Oh God.
And this girl that was staying in one of the single rooms, she had a lad over, or came home with a lad after a night out, and I came back up on a Sunday evening, went into my room and was like, what the fuck is that on top of my bedside locker? Literally, it was like on the drawer, and she had left the Johnny on top of the bedside locker.
No.
So I rang her, lost the absolute fucking plot, and she came back into the house an hour later, bawling, crying. I was fuming. And she was like, I'm so sorry, I thought I was going to be back before you to change the sheets and make sure everything was okay. And I was like, firstly, you fucking lied to me. Secondly, fucking rolled somebody in my bed, you sick bitch.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay, let's be honest. I think the anger is warranted. That anger is warranted. Finding a used Johnny on the fucking dresser. Usually people fling them against the wall and let them stick to it like it's like the spaghetti test. You know, to test if spaghetti's cooked, they say you have to throw it against the wall and if it sticks to it. No?
No.
Ciarán, you haven't lived, my man. You got to go to Italy. Yeah, that is, look, I completely feel your anger with that. I would find it very, very tough. Because also, just because you can get away with it doesn't mean you can do it. Do you know what I mean? Much like when people broke the rules during COVID. Brilliant. But like, just because you can get away with it, it doesn't mean you can do it. Oh, wait, there's a part two. Let's listen.
So anyway, it ended with me basically being really nice to her because she was bawling crying, even though I was full of rage. I made her basically like deep clean the room, take everything out and individually clean everything. Obviously deep clean the bed. It was septic. And I'm so thankful that I do not live in Dublin or house share anymore, because that was absolutely rancid. Hope cursing is okay in your voice notes.
Yeah, cheers with the fucking voice note. Brilliant. What I think is really frustrating about this, more so than the full condom left on your bedside locker, people that they do something wrong, but then their reaction to doing the wrong thing results in you having to comfort them. Fuck that. And those people really wind me up. Do you know what I mean? I was let down by somebody recently, and then the way that the person made it out, I then had to be like, oh, listen, you're okay. Don't worry. Please don't be. Why am I reassuring you when you fucked up? Do you know what I mean? Like, if somebody cancels plans last minute, cool, you've cancelled the plans. Leave it. Like, good luck. Let me try now focus on reshuffling my evening. Don't let me then have to waste time over text comforting you and, oh, no, but I just feel so bad. You don't feel that bad, because if you felt that bad, you'd be here. And by the way, I'm talking about when they don't have a real excuse. If they have a real excuse for not doing something, of course. But if it's just some bullshit usual, oh, it's just, you know, whatever, then that's fine. You've made your decision, but don't expect me to have to don the sympathy hat now and like reassure you that everything in the relationship's perfect and you're still a great person. You know, you made your decision and that's the game. So I'm with you on that and I'm with your frustrations. Next up.
Hey, Mark. My story about housemates. So when I was in college a couple of years ago, I was sharing a house with a few girls. We each had our own bedrooms. And one night I woke up with a bit of a fright, thought I heard a noise, didn't know what was going on, and then realized that the girl in the room next to me was masturbating loudly.
Oh.
Very loudly.
What?
I know for a fact that she was in the room on her own. Yeah, I was freaked out because I'm like, oh god, I shouldn't be able to hear this, but also pissed off because I had to get up at 5 a.m. So, you know, like every normal Irish person, don't really talk about sex, especially with someone you don't know that well. So the next day I just texted her and I just said, look, just to let you know, you were a little bit loud last night. If you wouldn't mind keeping it down, because I'm going to be getting up at 5 a.m. for the foreseeable, for my job. Do you mind keeping it down? And I just knew by the text back, in fairness, the poor girl was mortified. She was absolutely mortified. She apologised, said it would never happen again. And to be fair, I never heard her doing it again, but some of the other girls did hear her having very loud, obnoxious sex with her boyfriend. But yeah.
This is almost like a two-part one, because first things first, you had me at the beginning. You had me, I was really on your side, you had me all teed up. I was going to make a little joke and I was going to say, did she live in the box room?
Hey.
Brilliant. There you go. And people say this podcast is juvenile. Did she live in the minge room? No, but you know what I mean? Like, did she live in the... No, you don't need to lower the tone. You know, I used to think they were Wendy's. I've said this. I'm sorry. I don't know why. People are probably like, Mark, we get it. You occasionally thought about vaginas growing up. What are you trying to prove, Megan? Yeah. Did she live in the box room? To be brutally honest, and I'm an engaged man, so I need to choose my words carefully. But like, when you say masturbating loudly, do you mean the noise of the masturbation itself? Because if so, disturbed, we need to discuss this with David Attenborough or somebody, because what sort of animalistic primal fucking noises are your limbs producing that result in that sound travelling through the realistically badly installed drywall by your landlord? Probably not registered with the RTB. That's the game. Dirtbag. Bastard. Beanbag. Or are the noises coming from her mouth? Like, is she lying there going like, oh, Ciarán, Oh, Mrs. Is she thinking of Mrs. Jolly's, or and is she talking to herself? Because if like dirty talk, as I've said this before, Irish people shouldn't do dirty talk, and we have discussed that in the podcast. I just don't take it seriously. Or is she actually going at herself so loudly that it's that? Because then, yeah, you need to have a word. I don't know how you'd phrase it. Like, do you just be, hey, listen, I have to be up early in the morning, so can you please keep it down? Also, if I was her, just deny it. Just completely and utterly deny it. Just be like, sorry, I was watching a movie. That's the end of it. I was watching a movie about a girl from South Tipperary who, do you know what I mean? That's, okay, then the second part of it, about her making noise with her boyfriend, I don't really, unless it's late at night, she is sort of entitled to have an intimate relationship with the one that she loves the most. Like, so two people having completely consensual and, by the sounds of it, very bloody enjoyable sex, more power to them. This next one will put hairs on your chest.
Hi, Mark. So I lived with a girl in college. I would go home on a Friday. I would come back on a Sunday. And she would have used my underwear while I was gone home for the weekend. She would return the dirty underwear that she had used back into my clean underwear drawer. Pretty grim.
It's the fact that you say this as if it happens more than once, which I find the most perturbing. What is going on here? Hi, Marion.
Yeah?
Marion, whenever you're finished going at yourself next door, would you just come in? We need to have a quick word.
Yeah?
Hiya, Marion. So listen, whenever I've been going back to Nina on the weekend, don't know why they're always from Tip. Whenever I've been going go back, oh God. Whenever I've been going back, that sounded like Swahili. Whenever I've been going back to Nina on the weekends, I've noticed that the old jocks have been missing. The old Licenza size 7s have been missing from my bedside locker. And then you've been returning them soiled. Is there any chance you could never fucking do that ever again? Do you know what I mean? Don't, she's using your underwear and then returning them soiled. That sounds less like personal negligence with your negligee and more like depraved fetishization. We know I can't say that word. That sounds like a knicker fetish. On we go.
I lived with a guy in an apartment a few years ago. My friend got travelling and got this guy to take over for a few months while she was travelling. I woke up one Thursday morning and went into the sitting room, and he was having a threesome with two guys, and obviously I left. And then, you know, text him and I was like, that's really inappropriate. Can you please leave that behaviour to your room? And he then proceeded to tell me that he had met two of the guys out. One he'd met in the pub and the other guy was a homeless guy.
I don't know why you'd need to mention the fact that he's homeless. And here we are. It's the time many of you will have been waiting for. I wish that today was the Willy Willy Bum Bum section, but today it's pretty much just the Bum Bum section, guys. I'm actually not really looking forward to it, in all honesty, because today is, it's just disgusting. I mean, I have to remind you that there is some level of, you know, limitations regarding stuff that's safe to publish. And some of the stories that have come in are so beyond the boundaries of acceptable that I just can't publish them. So Kieran has put together a sort of best bits of bum bum shit stuff for the bum bum section, and brace yourselves if you don't like anything arse related, okay? You know, whether it's stuff going in or stuff coming out, skip forward because this is brutal. It really is. And it's not been my favourite bum bum section, but look, this is your podcast as much as it is mine. I have an obligation and a duty to the listener to, you know, to give you that platform. So here we go.
So I lived in Dublin in a cute little bungalow, two bedrooms with another girl, and we shared the bathroom. We shared the main bathroom. And she was a really sweet, wholesome, professional girl, really clean. But I woke up one morning and went in to use the bathroom. And in the bath, at the end of the bath, was a massive shit. Ugh. A big log of a shit sitting there. And she was already gone to work. So I never knew if she was in the shower and made the shit, or if she'd had a shower and never saw the shit.
What's she saying, or shit like that?
If she sleepwalked during the night and maybe made the shit. Anyway, it was a mystery. And
I ended up having to shovel the shit down the toilet myself, someone else's shit, so that I could have a shower and go to work. And I never found out where, when she made the shit. And we just had to get on with our lives and we never discussed it. So it was shitgate, mystery, horrendous.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you shoveling the shit. You shoveling the shit is absolutely bananas. I just don't, shitting in a bath, unless you're an infant, do you know, that's the only time it's appropriate. Unless you're coming in, unless you're the beginning stage of life or the end stage of life, you know, defecating in a bath is just not something that's acceptable. You've explained it well. I'm sorry that was your experience. We've got to move on. This one now, oh my good God, let's go.
So we're talking 20 years ago, 2004. And came to a Friday and all the housemates were going our separate ways to go home for the weekend. And I was house sharing, me and another girl and four lads, and the lads were in the year below us. So we didn't know them before they moved into the house share. So we'd probably been house sharing probably about 6 months at this stage. And I was the first one back then on Sunday. And this lad was sick all weekend with a diarrhea and vomiting bug. And he hadn't gone home, so he'd been there all weekend. And when I got back first, he kind of called out and said, "Who's that?" I said, "Oh, it's me." He said, "Oh, can you come here quick?" So I went into his room to see what was up. Did he need a drink? What was up? But no, he was standing over his bed staring down at catastrophic diarrhea.
No.
And asked if I wouldn't mind changing the bed sheets for him and putting them in the wash for him because he was a little bit too weak to do it. I'm still traumatised by the sight and smell of that diarrhea.
No, I'm traumatised by the size and sound of that fucking voice now, to be honest with you, Susan. Like, that is... Oh, God. Okay, the poor guy. The poor guy. We all know there's nothing worse than being struck down with vomiting and diarrhea bug. And when once you get to both ends and your body resembles sort of the Trevi Fountain, you know, that's when you are in dire straits. And that's when you're... it's a really primal and primitive feeling when you're just... like, you know, when you're lying on the bathroom floor and you've got the cold ceramic on your cheeks and you're just like, help me. But in a weird way, there's almost a peacefulness afterwards, isn't there? There's almost like a, wow, I spend a lot of my time being consumed and obsessed around things that don't mean anything. Whereas now, as I'm gasping for air, the only thing that I'm thinking about is the next gulp of breath. And we got to continue. So I'm sorry that was your experience. Let's go.
Myself and my two roommates, two close friends, I've lived with them for years, really thought I knew who they were as people at their core. We're in the kitchen getting ready for dinner, chatting about our day. And one of the girls starts unloading the dishwasher. And she says with glee, "Oh, guys, look what I did today. You'll be so happy with me." And pulls out, amidst our plates, forks, knives, cutlery, cups, you name it, pulls out the toilet brush that sits idle beside the toilet bowl that people use to scrub off their literal shit stains.
I know how they work.
There it sat amongst every piece of crockery in our apartment. Again, as I said, I'm sending this from beyond the grave because I died of cholera.
Oh. Okay, firstly, what's the difference between Delph and crockery? Trivia. Difference between Delph and crockery. Secondly, she's just after making a mockery of brilliant the rhyme with crockery. Look, I've always said this, but being an adult is knowing that you can put pretty much anything you want into a dishwasher. You draw the line in a toilet brush. You absolutely draw the line at putting a toilet brush in the dishwasher. That's an immediate P45 as far as I'm concerned. I'm sorry, you're going to have to pack your bags. Here's a cardboard box with a houseplant and a picture from your desk and you've got to walk out of the building at 3 o'clock like they show in every movie whenever somebody gets fired, do you know? And then they throw the box into the nearest bin. I'm really sorry. Like, that is wild. You don't... And also, like, without... risking descending further into the abyss, okay? Like, what had went down that she felt like the toilet brush needed to be put in the dishwasher? Do you know? That's the real question, and that's one that I hope will forever remain unanswered, such as, why haven't some of you bought my book yet? You know? Ciarán just looked at me with a, "Oh, come on, Mark, look." But seriously, how could you listen to this podcast on a weekly basis and not find it in your heart to go out and buy a copy? Please do. I really appreciate it. Let's go.
Mark, hello, hello, hello. About the housemates one, and please muffle my voice, but we had a pebble dasher. Like, I'm not joking, it must have been a machine gun out their bum. And you could always see remnants of it. Not nice. Not nice at all.
Yeah, like, it's, that doesn't sound nice. No, of course it doesn't. Pebble dasher or a sort of 1920s Prohibition America working for Al Capone, who died of syphilis in the end, by the way, in Alcatraz. Yeah, that's how Al Capone died. Yeah. Syphilis. Yeah, that's not ideal. Maybe the person had IBS, maybe the person had bowel issues. Who knows? But again, I don't really care to discover the answer. So there we are, guys. The cheeks are closing, not only on the bum section, but also on the podcast as a whole, if you'll allow another bum pun. There you go, guys. Oh, God. Today was a sort of shotgun round episode of the Weekly Roast, and thank you for tuning in. The last week has just been absolutely fucking mental, to be brutally honest with you, and I'm completely delirious with fatigue. But you know that sort of manic fatigue where you're so tired that you keep pouring coffee on top of it to try and counter the tiredness, and it just results in this sort of like frenzied shriek brain. Me and my best friend, we call it shriek brain, where even when you're sitting down still, your mind is just running a million miles a minute, and like all of life's various trials and tribulations are just coming shrieking at you. That's where I'm at the moment. So I do appreciate your patience as we go through this really and truly busy period. However, I'm off to Spain tomorrow, a holiday with my beloved fiance, and I cannot wait. I do really mean this when I say thank you so much for your support over the last few weeks with the book. It's been life-changing, genuinely life-changing. And it's also given me an idea as to that I don't necessarily need to always hide behind the cover of comedy, and it's actually somewhat acceptable to be yourself, genuinely. So thank you for that. Like, it means more to me than you'll ever know. And I think it'll do me the world. It's already doing me the world of good. And hopefully the book will do some people good. So if you're listening to this and you haven't gotten a copy of the book yet, you know, please do consider it. I put every part of myself in there. So if you're a fan of the podcast, yeah, perhaps consider grabbing a copy. Otherwise, I'm off for my holidays. Next week, we've got a very special episode. Now that we've approached 10 episodes, isn't it mental to think we're 10 episodes in already? But next week for the 10th episode, we're doing a big sort of special, and it's going to be a best bits of all the roasts so far. So I hope you enjoy it. I'll be in Spain, and we're also going to be doing, we've got a special roast plan for the following week whenever I'm in Spain. But yeah, look, enjoy this one. And as I said, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for all of the support. I really and truly appreciate it. You are very kind, and I look forward to speaking to you soon. Mind yourselves. Take care. All the best.